And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Friday morning. We have all of your NBA preseason info that you need right here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Jared Weiss. I am joined by Sam Jam Packard of the Anything Is Potable podcast up in Boston on the Athletic Podcast Network. We've got Mike Smeltz in the background pushing all the buttons to make us sound good. And before we get into it, don't miss exclusive in-depth coverage of this unprecedented year in sports. You can subscribe now. And you can save by going to theathletic.com/dailyding. And you can receive an all-access subscription and get one to give for free. It's the holidays. Don't be selfish. Give away something. Why not give away a subscription to The Athletic? You get to hear this show. You get to hear Anything Is Potable. You get to read all of our great written work. And you can do all that by going to theathletic.com/dailyding. Where you get an all-access subscription and you get to give one away for free. So coming up on today's show, we're going to skip some of the boring preseason action stuff. We're going to skip all the rotation talk and all that stuff. We're going to talk about two things that are really interesting. We're going to talk about a Celtics season preview. That's why we brought Sam on the show. But before that, some huge news dropping right before we're taping this. Our very own Sam Amick is reporting that the NBA is opening an investigation into the Clippers, in particular, the one and only Jerry West, because TMZ reported earlier this week that a man named Johnny Wilkes, which is the kind of name that you would hear in a report about something shady going on, that he is suing Jerry West over a $2.5 million payout that he claims he was supposed to receive for delivering Kawhi Leonard. This guy in the suit takes credit for basically giving the Clippers all the intel that they needed to secure it, between telling him what he was looking for as far as getting taken care of. Most importantly, knowing that he needs to get Paul George if Kawhi's going to actually sign there. So, Sam, this is the second major tampering investigation that we have of the offseason, the first being the Bogdanovich thing. What do you think is going on right now?
I think Johnny Wilkes is trying to wheel and he's trying to deal. I mean, the idea that Kawhi Leonard only worked through this intermediary person to communicate messages to the Clippers, it just seems absolutely ridiculous to me. I don't know. I don't have an inside. I'm not like Sam Amick. I don't have an inside look on how free agent negotiations work, but it feels like that's something Kawhi's agent might communicate to Jerry West and the Lakers. The lawsuit also claims that Kawhi's uncle was given a house and expense account. Now that's an allegation I might be a little bit more inclined to believe, and maybe there's something there in the tampering investigation. But the headline that this wheeler and dealer Johnny Wilkes Jerry West agreed to give him $2.5 million. It's a little bit suspect, but I'm fascinated that the league decided to investigate. I don't. Maybe they're just being very thorough, doing their due diligence, but when I first saw the headline, it seems like something that you wouldn't necessarily treat as a legitimate allegation.
Well, the first thing that's fascinating about it is that we have someone who's basically a runner in Kawhi's camp interacting with Jerry West on the dirty deeds of all people. That's pretty fascinating. An important thing is you mentioned agent. Let's remember, Uncle Dennis is the agent. Dennis Robertson is the agent for Kawhi. Kawhi is not attached to a big name agent where it would be easy to tamper, because you could just talk to that agent under the guise of discussing anything else. So you don't really have that kind of plausible deniability in the situation. But let's remember, the Clippers did get in trouble for tampering a few years back when they re-signed DeAndre Jordan, where they allegedly, or I guess not allegedly, because they got penalized for it. They set him up with a Lexus dealership at a commercial spot or something like that, that he got paid a bunch of money for. And so the league did come down on that. And that was to convince, that was using, that was that wasn't tampering as much as it was circumvention of the cap by arranging for a third party business deal in order to give him more compensation to re-sign your own players. So as bad as important as it is to enforce circumvention rules, it was still re-signing your own player, while this is alleging that the entire face of the NBA was basically reshaped due to some illicit dealings, including multiple payouts to different people, which is like pretty strictly prohibited.
I mean, maybe, I mean, why doesn't Uncle Dennis need a house and expense account? It feels like it's a really wild accusation. I just have no way of how you actually verify that information. And with this Johnny Wilk, like, because Uncle Dennis isn't like a official agency, it's very hard to be like, well, Johnny Wilkes holds a position at that agency, and thus we can see the clear lines of negotiation and where these like discussion would take play. Right now, I just don't know what this man's connection is to Kawhi. Would I be shocked if there was some like negotiation and be like, hey, we'll hook you up. We're Steve Ballmer money. We can spread that around. No, but I don't know really. I'm curious what the NBA's like investigative force is. Are they subpoenaing documents right now? How are they gonna like?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have that power?
They don't. So this is something I actually wrote about on The Athletic last year, because a year ago, a little over a year, I think it was the end of September last year, they announced this like whole new regulatory regime for tampering, where they were saying that we have the power to force you to turn over your phone, to turn over your email, turn over whatever we ask you. And while they have no legal basis to do that, they can't legally compel you or throw you in jail for it. They can kick you out of the NBA for it. They can cancel your contract. They have all sorts of powers that they can do to enforce penalties upon you or take away your availability in the NBA. So, you know, they can, whatever hammer they want to drop, they can drop it. And this is a scenario where they're really going to need to drop it if it needs to be dropped, because according to the TMZ article, Wilkes is claiming that he was at dinner with Kawhi and Jerry West in Beverly Hills when they agreed to make the signing. And he claims that West agreed to pay over the $2.5 million at that dinner. You can't really prove that, but you can certainly prove that Wilkes was there. Like, that at least it could be pretty easily proved that Wilkes was at the table.
What if Jerry West was just doing a bit? Like, he was just like fingers crossed behind his back, and Johnny Wilkes didn't get the joke. Like, he was just like, oh my God, like, yeah, Johnny, we'll get you that 2.5. Ha ha ha, Kawhi, let's talk business. Like, what? We don't know. We don't know what was happening at dinner, but we do need to know if all three of them were at that dinner. I'm just very curious about the investigation. Like, would they really kick Kawhi out of the league for like not turning over his phone? Like, what is the Fourth Amendment rights of NBA players under the CBA?
I mean, can they break into his house to take his phone away? That's the biggest question. Well, the thing is that when they made those changes to the tampering rules, they didn't really spell it out. Like, I wrote that this was kind of a dangerous slippery slope, because they were just kind of giving the commissioner broad discretion to conduct and institute penalties how he saw fit. And like, we don't know if they're going to, for instance, take draft picks away, suspend him. They could suspend him. They could make him a free agent and annul his contract. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that could happen.
This is blatant overreach by the surveillance state. And I think just as the Celtics took a stand against Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker in terms of writing an op-ed about the use of facial technology, I think they need to take a stand in the CBA and not just let this government overreach and invasive into their lives. I stand by Johnny Wilkes in this situation and the right of the defendant.
All right. Well, that's Jam Packard in favor of the accuser.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So let's move on to the Celtics. They've got a lot going on right now. They're taking a stand for police reform. They're trying to not lose basketball games. They failed at that in their preseason opener against the Philadelphia 76ers. Trying to think of the score off the top of my head, but it's preseason, so I don't give a crap about the score.
105-97. Now, I know there that's not right, but it was close.
Close enough. Preseason doesn't matter with the scores. What matters is what we saw on the floor. And let's start with the Time Lord, Rob Williams. I think he's probably the person that has the most on the line, I guess, besides the guys at like the back of the roster, obviously, this season. I wrote a piece breaking down his performance on The Athletic going up against, he was the starting center in this game with Daniel Tyson, Tristan Thompson out. He's going up against Joel Embiid and Dwight Howard. It's the first two bigs he has to see this season. That's a test. So, you know, I think you would probably agree that Rob Williams needs to prove this season that he's worth, you know, they, I would be shocked if they denied his option for a fourth year. But as a team that clearly is looking to make trades, I don't think they're going to be too keen on keeping him if he just is flat again this year. So what did you see in that opener and what do you think his role is going to be, or at least what he could possibly earn this year?
What I saw in that opener was a man who loves jumping, and that is sometimes quite good if he's protecting the rim. Not as good when he's just jumping at half court during the, like, trying to get back on transition defense instead of running back. He's not in great position a lot of the times on defense, which is kind of a problem for him. And his role moving forward, I think, is going to be very interesting because the Celtics did bring in Tristan Thompson this year. They had Daniel Tice from last year who played way better than anyone thought Daniel Tice was capable of. Daniel Tice played like 25 minutes a game last year. Tristan Thompson played closer to 30, I think. Are the Celtics really in a position to give more minutes to a guy at center when they basically should have 48 minutes split between Tice and Tristan Thompson? Where is the role for really Rob Williams to come in? He's clearly showed against Embiid. It's not like he's a huge size guy. It's not like he's going to be a strong low post defender. It's going to be interesting to see where he sticks out. Clearly the place where he excels compared to the rest of the Celtics bigs is just his verticality, his lob threat, his ability to attack the rim. I think if he's going to make an impact, he's going to have to show something more on the offensive end. Like, yes, he can jump very high. The Time Lord blocks everything. The man loves jumping, as I said. But if he's going to have to like kind of create his role on the team, I think all teams can kind of use a third center because of injuries and all those things, but I just don't see him having like a regular role unless he has like proved something to be like dynamic force on the offensive end, a wrinkle that they can kind of turn to that teams aren't expecting.
And, you know, they might not have a defensive need for him right now because you have Tice who should still be the starting center based on how well he played during the regular season last year. And then you have Thompson as he's in the same role that they wanted Enes Kanter to fill well last year, which is he's a bruiser who can actually play some decent defense. You have him in the, you know, nights when you're going up against a Joel Embiid type, or you're going up against, you know, a classic under the rim grinded out type center. So you probably need a third guy in your rotation for when you're going super small, when you're going to micro ball. Grant Williams is probably going to be that guy. I think we're going to see Grant Williams playing the five when the team wants to go super small because he's showing that he can hit that three-point shot. He's a pretty solid spot-up shooter, and so if they really want to be five out, and be able to have five shooters on the floor. Grant Williams is that guy. So it seems like Rob Williams is right now still stuck in that same spot he was, where if you need somebody to be a real pick and roll threat for you on offense, he's the guy that you could bring in there. But yeah, right now it just, his defense is so all over the place. He just takes bad angles all the time. And, you know, there was one play I noted, which was he was guarding Dwight Howard, who I think was like at the top of the key of the free throw line. And Dwight Howard is facing him up. And Rob, for some reason, just jumps up in the air when Dwight Howard is just kind of pivoting to face him up.
The guy loves jumping.
The guy just loves jumping. And he keeps jumping up in the air when he should be low and sliding across the floor. And he has this like this boundless energy that keeps getting him to pop up for some reason. I don't know what it is. But, you know, if he can seize control of that and he stays healthy and he keeps playing, he could, you know, he could improve a ton over the course of the year. I mean, he's only played like 50 or 60 games in the NBA so far, and he hasn't really played that many minutes. So him finally being healthy and available could give him a big boost. But let's talk about the other Williams, because frankly, it seems like everybody at this point has been on the start Grant Williams train as the four, while Kemba Walker is out, because Kemba Walker is expected to be out at least until probably mid-January, probably even longer than that. So Grant did not start in the first game. They started Javonte Green, the last guy on the roster.
Everyone saw it coming. Non-guaranteed.
Classic Brad Stevens move. And Javonte Green was actually pretty interesting. He's shooting the ball now. His shot looked crisp. He was hitting it. Obviously, if that's the case and he can hit that three-pointer, he becomes actually a pretty viable rotation player considering all the stuff that he can do. So who do you think that Javonte showed that he actually could be the actual starter for the first few weeks of the season?
I mean, he made a three-pointer in a preseason game, so maybe. I don't know if what Javonte Green is going to be a starter. I think it's going to be very interesting what the Celtics do in this, especially when Kemba Walker's out, just in terms of their wing depth. That's where there's a hole in the roster. They want Aaron Nesmith to step up. Romeo Langford is hurt, and so it's going to be a while before they get back. I don't know what that is going to be. I expected Grant Williams to start. I think he will start moving forward. You mentioned him possibly at the five. I just don't know if they have the roster construction for Grant to play a lot at the five, considering like the Tice and Thompson you think would take a lot of those minutes. And so what they're going to do at wing depth is going to be it's very interesting. I think the problem is their offense is just especially when Jason Tatum's not on the court. And I think we saw this in the game against the Sixers when Tatum went to the bench and it was a Jaylen Brown focused offense, the offense did not look great. And so how do they score points? And if Grant Williams is playing the four and then you have one of those guys, Tice and Thompson, do you have enough floor space to really have a good offense this year? I think offense is clearly, and especially from the bench, is going to be the Celtics' biggest struggle as they head into the season, especially with Kemba on the bench.
So it's like last year is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit worse than last year because you're not going to have Gordon Hayward to kind of step in sometimes. The thing about last year, a Celtics team is pretty wild, is that they never really had their core five players together all healthy at the same time. Did not happen in the playoffs, but because of their depth, they were able to kind of continue winning games and plugging and playing this year. I think if the Celtics, if they sustain one major injury but to Kemba Walker, which they're starting the season as, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, or Jason Tatum, it's going to be really bad on the offensive end and just in terms of where points come from, because Tatum's going to need to really step up. I know he's gotten massive, like 2 inches taller, 35 pounds stronger over the offseason.
7'4" already.
Yeah. People forget that he's huge, but he's going to need to take like a much more of the offensive burden, because especially with Kemba out, I just don't know where the points are necessarily coming from for the Celtics.
Yeah, you know, you're making a great point about Jaylen Brown. This is the year that he needs to show that he can really create off the dribble and be a playmaker, and just have that comfort to get through the perimeter defense and make, you know, really break stuff up once he gets into the lane. And you're right. If they have an anchor big who isn't spacing the floor out there, it makes it really easy for teams to try to trap him in the paint. And so maybe you do have to put him out there with a small lineup to allow him to get some second unit run, because last year, Jason Tatum would run the second unit and then Hayward would come in and he'd run the second and a half or third unit, or whatever. You know, they always had two good playmakers out there. And they're going to rely on Jalen to do a lot of that. And that could be where it really kills them. But if Jeff Teague is still doing what he did on opening night of the preseason, which is to shoot lights out and really look unwashed, he's dirty again. Like he looked like a filthy younger Jeff Teague in that game. That could be a huge breakthrough.
He was 4 of 4 from three, and I did not know Jeff Teague did that. In my understanding of Jeff Teague, knockdown three-point shooter was not a descriptor that I generally know. I think the team is basically going to go as far as Kemba Walker's knee is going to go. I think they need him to contribute and be able to contribute at an all-star level. Like he was an all-star last year, and they're still pretty top-heavy. They were top-heavy last year, and then they lost – what maybe their fourth best player, but they're still going to need their top four guys. It's a pretty good top four. It's like top 50 players in there, but they're going to need all four of those guys to contribute if they're going to really want to make a run this year. And so, I don't know, you wrote about Kemba's knee surgery. They injected him with stem cells. Hopefully that will be good. But as like a Celtics fan who saw him struggle late in the playoffs against the Raptors and was not great in the Heat series, I'm pretty concerned about his knee, but I'm not a doctor. So I hope he's going to recover. I think the Celtics are going to be very careful in their approach in getting him back with it might be a month and then he'll come back with a minutes restriction. I don't think he's going to play any back-to-backs this year, but I just don't know what level he's going to be at. And if he's same old Kemba, I think the Celtics can be quite good. If he's limited, their depth is going to be is really take a hit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Go to theathletic.com/Celtics, I think is a real URL to find that story on Kemba. We had Jeff Stotts from In Street Clothes come in and kind of go back and forth with me to really break down all the intricacies of what Kemba's situation is. It's not worth a read because I do any good writing in it. It's written terribly, but.
But you should also go to The Athletic and get
free. But Jeff Stotts was very informative there. And of course, you could give it. Yeah. So it really is worth a read because there's a lot of medical insight that he provides there. But the bottom line is that Kemba, there is a legitimacy to the idea of a slow ramp up strengthening period. It is a legitimate thing. It isn't like BS. It's just he needs a really long one. And he's already gotten about a month and a half or so into it. He probably needs a 2.5 to 3 month period. So I think maybe by the middle of January, he's ready to go. And then, like you're saying, Sam, it's going to be a slow process. It's going to be 20 to 25 to 30. They might just cap him at 30 to 32 a night and make sure that he doesn't get stuck playing 40-minute games here. They're probably going to have to do that with so many other guys just because of the way the schedule is going to be this year. Although maybe the fact that they're not traveling between a lot of road games this year might help a lot because there's so many of those two games and 3 days situations at a road location. So maybe the less frequent travel will be helpful for a lot of these guys. But yeah, I mean this team is going to have to go really slow early in the regular season. They start off the season with Milwaukee and then Brooklyn. So we're trying to figure out who's the four for this team, and they have to face the two best fours in the NBA and Giannis and Kevin Durant. So it's I assume Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown is going to be covering those guys for the most part, which is why even though we're thinking of Javonte Green starting as kind of at the four, he's really starting at the two, and Tatum and Brown are going to slide up to guard the bigger wings that most of these teams are facing. But they're in for a crazy test out of the gate. I wouldn't be surprised if this team kind of looks like a mess early on, especially because Smart's going to be running point for this team. And Tatum looked in the preseason like he's trying to figure out what he can get away with basically this year. But we saw in the bubble, Tatum was kind of a mess those first few preseason games in the bubble.
He's a slow starter.
Then he was a top five player in the league for the rest of the bubble. So, I'm pretty confident he's going to be playing at a all NBA level. And I'm sure Brown will get there eventually, but their biggest question is how does the offense stay afloat throughout the game? And then can Marcus Smart continue to play at a borderline all-star level like he was for 70% of the games in the bubble? Or can I just say 70% of a single game. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Smart would have those games where he looks like one of the best players on the floor for, 70% of the time. And then he makes a bunch of terrible plays and all of a sudden things fall apart. So, now that he's entering his prime, can he really take control of his game, refine his game, and be balanced and smart enough that he can play like at the level the Celtics need him to.
It's going to be very interesting to see where like the offense and how the offense kind of might change if it just turns into more of a focus on trying to get Jason Tatum looks. Brad Stevens likes to play a very egalitarian style of offense where it's just read and react. And we'll see maybe if the ball kind of just forces it into Tatum's hands more. I think the question is, you mentioned the tough schedule early for the Celtics and how late Kemba might actually start the season. The East is pretty stacked this year. Is it going to affect them in the standings? I don't know what the home court situation is going to be, but I don't know. Having the one or two seed is much better than having a three or four seed where hopefully they'll end up and having to play like a serious first round series. It just feels like they're with Kemba's knee injury. They're kind of just building towards the playoff runs, and how much does their record suffer when they're basically just waiting for Kemba to get back and trying to figure things out. The thing Brad Stevens said is with Javonte Green starting, he's like, oh yeah, we're just going to cycle through that roster spot. Anyone can start at any time. It's just going to be 25 games of Brad experimenting with lineups, which is usually what he does to start the season, but normally he at least has a starting five. Now it's just like just throwing shit out against the wall and seeing what happens, which is kind of fun for me because it's going to be some variation to start the year, but I don't know what comes of it. I don't know if Brad does either.
I can't wait for Taco running point. It's going to be exciting.
He tried it the other night.
It did not go well, as usual. So, okay, let's leave this on what you were kind of hinting at there, which is, I mean, we're getting reports coming in now that Ben Simmons' name has popped up in trade talks with the Houston Rockets. You know, apparently they're not close right now, but you'd be amazed how teams could get close throughout the process of trade talks. So even if James Harden does not get traded to the Sixers, which I don't think is going to change, I think they're already better than the Celtics at this point anyway. So we're over under Celtics seeding position. Do you think they're going to get home court, or do you think that over under is like fourth or fifth seed, or are they even lower than that?
I don't think they're lower than that. I still think they're a very solid team. I think Jason Tatum's a very solid player. Jaylen Brown is good. I think they're a good team, a very talented team. They're going to be strong defensively. Kemba being out might actually help their defense. I think a lineup with Smart, Brown, Tatum, Grant Williams, and then either Tice or Thompson is going to be a strong defensive team. I think they're going to play hard and be in the games. I just don't know. I think I can't figure it out. I think there's tiers. I think the Bucks, and I'll have to give it to the damn Heat culture who got us in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I think they're a little bit of like the top tier. I think it goes Bucks, Heat. But then after that, I just don't know what to expect from like Kevin Durant's hurt. The Nets don't really have any guys who are playing defense. I don't know exactly. I think the Sixers are going to be quite good. The Raptors, I don't think are going to be that good just because they lost or as good.
Which means they'll be just as good, of course.
Well, it's of course
Nick Nurse. The Blazers of the East. They always look like they're not a 50-win team, but they're always a 50-win team.
And then, yeah, Nick Nurse is going to have them running like 17 different types of zones, and by the time they're just going to like walk into a three seed. So I think Celtics are pretty much anywhere from that 3 to 6 range of like, there's clearly the top six teams in the East. I don't think the Celtics are as good as the Bucks. I still think they're more talented than Miami Heat. I'm very jaded over last year's Eastern Conference Finals. But I think they're, if I'm extremely biased, I think they're anywhere from 2 to 5 or 2 to 6. If I'm being realistic, I think it's like more of a 3 to 6 range. If all things go well, they figure it out, I think they can get the 3 seed. If they really struggle to score without Kemba, then I think they might not get home court advantage in the first round.
Yeah, I'll say I don't think the Heat are going to play at that juggernaut level throughout the regular season because that required, one, Jimmy Butler to play like as absolute balls to the wall for 48 minutes a night. I just don't think it's sustainable throughout the regular season.
Heat culture says it is. Heat culture says you show up every single night. That's what we know about Heat culture.
That is true. And let's not forget about Indiana. Indiana's roster is still pretty intact, and they're going to get the bonus back. TJ Warren. So I think Indiana could be pretty close to the Celtics still. I wouldn't be shocked if the Celtics fell to 6 or 7 just because of the quality of the competition they're facing. But of course, they could use their trade exception to bring in another really good starter.
Biggest trade exception ever? Yeah, that's right, folks.
The $28.5 million. I think they should get Aaron Gordon when the Magic have their fire sale, which really just better happen for the sake of that franchise. Aaron Gordon, I think, would be the perfect guy to add to a team with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Cover up all of his faults, allow him to play to his strengths. You have that four that can guard the big guys like KD and Giannis. So I think that would be the perfect guy for him to go after. But hey, we'll see what happens.
I'm very excited for player exception watch. My dark horse is DeJounte Murray. Don't know if the Spurs even want to trade him, but I just like him as a basketball player.
I had him on my list of top targets for them. So for sure. Well, that's going to do it. That's it for today's show. You better not forget about those other basketball shows that we have across the Athletic Podcast Network. We have your favorites like the Athletic NBA show. We've got No Dunks. We've got House of Strauss. We have Anything Is Potable featuring Sam Packard right here. And we have, it says over a dozen. I'm assuming we're still over a dozen team specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers like Jay King. So don't forget to follow on the app. You can get notifications for new episodes and utilize that podcast episode comment section. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, which I swear to God, I will fight you if you're not, you're in luck because you can get all of our podcasts ad-free, plus some fantastic writing across all major sports, all for a super low price by going to theathletic.com/dailyding. And you can gift that other sub. You get a sub. Your friend gets a sub, your wife gets a sub, your mistress gets a sub, your husband gets a sub, your mistress gets a sub.
Whoever you can get a sub to your wife and your mistress.
That's true. You
buy one, get one free.
That's right. So spread the joy this holiday season with The Athletic. That is theathletic.com/dailyding. And thank you, as always, for waking up with us. Sam, take us out of here.
I don't know what that means. Is it the end of the show? Am I supposed to think, oh, ding, ding. Now I get it.
You right. Really put Smelts, me on the spot. Do not edit that out.
I was not ready for that whatsoever.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.